You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Democrats still hold a supermajority in the California legislature, but there have been gains with state Republicans. Three seats were flipped in the latest election, and according to the Digital Democracy Database by our partners at CalMatters, GOP lawmakers are also growing more diverse. The Republican caucus at the state capitol is on pace to have at least 50% of non-white members for the first time. And when breaking down the Assembly and the Senate, Republicans represent just under a third of each chamber. So we're going to sit down with the Republican leaders at the state capitol. Senate Minority Leader Brian Jones has been a state lawmaker for 15 years now with a district based in San Diego. And Assembly Minority Leader James Gallagher was first elected in 2014 with a district based in Chico. And they both join us to discuss their legislative priorities and how they are collaborating across the aisle to turn their bills into state laws. Welcome.
Thank you, Vicky. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, let's just start off with the developments of the past week. So about a week ago, Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas made it a legislative priority to tackle the cost of living in the state. And that strategy was laid out in Politico about a week ago. So yesterday, Assembly Republicans announced their own package of bills to tackle affordability. Minority Leader Gallagher, was the timing of this in response to Speaker Rivas, or was it a coincidence?
No, I mean, we had planned to roll out our package, and so we did that yesterday. And, you know, the difference, I think, is, you know, the speaker laid out his plan, but a lot of it is just having more hearings about the issue of cost of living. And, you know, I think that our constituents know what the problems are. They're paying the highest for gas. They're paying the highest for electric utility bills. You know, they're paying more for housing. And those are the things we need to focus on. So we went right after it and said, you know, we have a bill, AB 286, I'm actually the author of it, that reduces electric utility bills by 30%, directs the PUC to do so. We came out with a housing renter's tax credit, you know, to help people who are paying really high rents in this state. You know, we talked about, you know, for instance, the gas tax, the new gas tax now that's coming out of the Air Resources Board. They are trying to push through a new update that will raise the price of gas up to 50 cents a gallon. We have a bill that would repeal that. So we're doing real things, and we want to do them quickly to give people relief right now.
When it comes to that strategy of getting those bills into laws, what do you have to do as Republicans at the state capitol to make that happen?
Well, one, I think we need to come out with the ideas, you know, and that's what we're doing at the very beginning here is laying out our ideas on how we could actually lower people's costs right now. And then it's about collaboration and talking with our Democratic colleagues. Obviously, we can't get our bills through only on our own votes. We have to have Democrats vote with us. And I would say we're at least optimistic. You know, you heard the speaker say affordability's got to be a top priority. And so we just want to encourage them. Let's find ways to actually do that. I don't think we need to have more hearings. I think we need to have some real actions that would end up cutting people's costs. And so, you know, we're hoping to have, you know, collaborative discussions. I'm sure there'll be back and forth about how to do that. But at least at first, we want to lay out the ideas and get them out there in the public discussion.
Hmm. Senator Jones, when it comes to hearings, for those who don't walk through the legislative process, what is the issue with hearings?
Well, I think in this case, in particular, the cost of living, the only hearing we need to have in the state of California already happened on November 5th. I think voters in California, even if they didn't vote, you know, switch their voting habits all the way to Republican, they at least took some pause on, you know, look at the propositions that failed, the minimum wage hike proposition failed that the legislature, you know, the Democrats in the legislature supported. The Prop 5, the property tax increase, that failed. And then you add into that Prop 36, the criminal reform bill that passed. The governor was on the wrong side of all three of those issues. And so the voters have already told us what I think we need to hear, and I think Republicans in the legislature are being responsive to that. James's group in the Assembly has done a fantastic job of putting that out as a package. My members in the Senate are each doing bills mm-hmm. to address the cost of living. I've got SB 2, which will repeal the new regulations that CARB, California Air Resources Board, put in place. And keep in mind, this is how why the voters are reacting in such a way, because the majority party and the governor are so cynical about the voters and the taxpayers in California and the cost of living in California, that the Air Resources Board, which is, you know, the majority of the member, all of the members on that board are appointed by the governor, and the majority of them are millionaires, just like he is. And they took this vote on a Friday night at 9 p.m. on a holiday weekend, the 3 days after the election. If they're so in tune with the voters, why didn't they make that vote the Friday before the election and let the voters have an additional say and an additional hearing on the cost of living in California? I think if they, and they know why, I mean, we all know why they did that, because they know the voters would have reacted even more strongly than they did on November 5th. So the hearings, look, that's window dressing from the majority party to try to convince the voters and the taxpayers and people who are trying to survive here in California that they're actually going to do something. The proof is in the pudding in August when we're coming to the end of session. On what bills do they support? On what bills do they kill? And we'll hold them accountable on the bills that we're proposing that actually do reduce the cost of living. And we're going to hold them accountable for the bills that they're going to pass that raise the cost of living. And there's dozens of bills already being proposed that increase regulation, increase fees, increase taxes, and we're going to hold them accountable on that as well.
You mentioned Prop 36, and that handedly passed by voters.
Historically.
Rolls back parts of Prop 47, which was passed nearly a decade ago. But there wasn't funding wrapped into this proposition. And when you talk to counties, both that can lean right or lean left, mm-hmm. they need that funding in
Absolutely.
Order to make Prop 36 a reality. So how does that get accomplished at the state capitol?
That's the job of the legislature and the governor to work together to fund those. The governor, the voters and the taxpayers have spoken overwhelmingly that they want this to be the law of California. It passed by almost 70%, and in the historical part of it is in every single county, including Marin and San Francisco and every Bay Area county, it passed. And so now it's our job as legislators to, and the governor's made it very clear he doesn't want to fund it. And so we've written a letter. I think James and his group has written a letter to the governor and to the leaders, the Democratic leadership, that we expect this to be in the budget. We expect it to be funded.
Yeah, Republicans are already saying already at the very beginning is saying we should fully fund and implement Prop 36. That's what the voters expect. And so we hope that our Democratic colleagues will join us. I mean, and that means, funding for drug treatment, because that was a big part of Prop 36. Right. That, hey, we want people to have the incentive to get into drug treatment and get better and get at the root cause of their criminality. Many DAs support that throughout the state. Actually, I think all of them do. And so we want to certainly make sure that's funded. But also, like, for people that are obviously continuing to commit crimes, you have to have jail and prison bed space for people to do time, when they're continuing to rob stores, when they're continuing to, smash and grab cars. There does have to be consequences for crime.
Even if I can just interject real quick, the one thing I would really encourage your listeners, don't let the governor and the Democratic leadership get away with the phrase, it's expensive. Prop 36 is expensive. It is expensive, but so is crime. And so you look at the overall cost, what these retail theft rings have cost us, what the fentanyl crisis has cost us over the period of time. And then that's expensive too. And these retailers and these local mom and pop shops, let's think about the mom and dad that are self-employed, trying to run a store on a main street somewhere in California, and they can't because they are continuously getting broken into. That's expensive for them. And so this is a values choice that the voters have made. We're going to value law and order, and we're not going to value letting people mm-hmm. continue to drive up the cost of goods in California.
And even though California is a very large state and a diverse state with different issues, I mean, there are some that bubble up to the top
Absolutely.
That are universal. When you're talking with your colleagues across the aisle with Democrats at the state capitol, I would imagine issues like wildfires, insurance, utility rates, there can be some common ground where you can work together. What have those conversations been like in the last month or so with this new session?
You know, overall, the conversations are going well. Our Democrat colleagues do recognize that those are issues. The challenge that the Democrats are going to have in the legislature is they still have a faction. You know, they're not as unified as they look like on the outside. They have factions within their caucus as well. And they're going to have the very progressive caucus that's going to keep pushing them further into more government control, more fees, more regulations, which for us, we don't believe. I think Republicans generally don't believe that's the answer. And many of our, what I call reasonable Democrat colleagues, that understand the market, understand how business works, understand how private property works, they don't support that stuff either. So we're going to have to hold our ground on that and then also work with our colleagues across the aisle that do agree with us and give them support in communicating these issues.
Assemblymember Gallagher, I mean, I think about the wildfires across Los Angeles. Of course, your district has lived with devastating and deadly wildfires. Of course, the Camp Fire, not only the Camp Fire. When you see what's happening in Southern California and that shaping political will, does that create some openings for some policies that you wanted in the past that maybe you couldn't accomplish before?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, my heart goes out to my colleagues that are going through this. I've talked to them, and I do think there's a great opportunity. And I think it centers around climate and wildfire. And here's what I think it looks like. You know, for years, we have a climate policy that is really focused on mandates on electricity, on energy, you know, what car you should drive. All these things that are actually very expensive to California consumers. And yet we've done very little on the wildfire front. And so the gains that we actually made in emission reductions through our climate policy has been completely obliterated by the wildfires. Yep. And the carbon emissions, millions of metric tons of carbon that have been emitted by all these wildfires. If we instead focused on cleaning up our forests, making sure that they're not a tinderbox ready to go off, and also our wildlands, our chaparral and the coastal ranges. If we put a real effort into funding for fuel reduction, but also removing the barriers like the California Environmental Quality Act barriers, like the Air Resources Board stopping prescribed fire or groups suing to stop prescribed fire that would actually keep our communities safe, not only would that make our communities safer from these catastrophic wildfires, also the evidence shows it's good climate policy. Right. It reduces the amount of carbon just by doing this kind of work. Mechanical thinning, prescribed fire, actually will reduce our overall carbon emissions and produce healthy forests that actually are a carbon sink instead of dead and dying forests that actually are a carbon emitter. So there's a better path forward on climate, and I'm hopeful that we can actually come to an agreement on that. But Democrats are going to have to kind of take a step back from the policy approach that they've taken and instead focus more on this area. And that's where we think there's a real opportunity.
I think on that point, you know, when you look at the far left environmental groups that are really focused on command and control of the economy and life here in California, to James's point regarding the, you know, all of the emissions that we've been saving over the course of years, this one fire has obliterated that savings of emissions. We can't even get those environmental groups to admit that. It's a fact that the metric tons of carbon released by these fires far out surpasses what we've saved over the last 10, 20, 30, 100 years. And we can't even get those environmental groups to admit that fact. I think your listeners are smart enough to be able to determine, okay, we've got to start taking some of their stuff not so serious if they can't even admit that fact.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with State Senator Brian Jones and Assemblymember James Gallagher, who are the Republican leaders at the state capitol. So it's been a little over a month since Trump is president, since the inauguration and leading up to the inauguration, following the inauguration. The president has criticized multiple aspects of how California does business. I want to focus on water and water policy in the state. Some claims that have been debunked, some claims or releasing water from the Central Valley, which concerned water experts. I mean, water is central to your district, Assemblymember Gallagher. What do you think about the first month of this presidency and these executive orders in terms of water in California?
Honestly, I think it's actually been really great. We just had an announcement earlier this week. $200 million is coming from the federal government to support Sites Reservoir, a much-needed water storage project that we've actually been studying since Dwight D. Eisenhower was president. Finally, we have the opportunity to build the storage project, 1.5 million acre-feet of water that could be brought to bear. We have the money, Prop 1, that was passed over 10 years ago now. Was a bond that we have the money allocated towards sites. Now we've gotten federal support and additional federal support from President Trump. And now the impediment has been the bureaucracy, you know, that's under the governor, the Water Resources Control Board and Department of Fish and Wildlife, who have to give permits to the project to help it move forward. We need to remove those barriers and start getting this project off the ground. The funding is there.
Is there any of the policies that you disagree with? I mean, I think about threats to withholding federal aid for wildfires, even federal layoffs, terminations, funding freezes, things like that, that can affect California. Anything that you've disagreed with in the past month or so? And this goes to you too, Senator Jones.
Well, I'll start. I was very vocal when the whole threat of withholding funding to the wildfire victims was part of the conversations. Look, that's not what we do in the United States. That's not what we do as Americans. When people are in a natural disaster, we help them. And so, but the caveat on that was, look, we've got to get the aid to the fire victims as fast as possible so that they can start recovery and start rebuilding. But we still have to hold the government accountable, the federal government and the state government, on the expenditures, on moving forward on infrastructure, on other, funding things that are going to be coming from the federal government. The federal government totally is in the right to ask California to account for how they're going to spend the money, especially when you take into consideration over the last 6 years, the governor has wasted $27 billion on the homeless crisis and can't account for any of that money. It's so, the record keeping is so poor that the state auditor, which is one of the best run departments in the state of California, can't even go in and do an audit because the records are so bad. So yes, there should be some accountability, but we should help wildfire victims as fast as possible.
Look, I would say this is all the more reason that we should be trying to work with this administration. I mean, we have a lot of commonality that we can work on.
Well, the tone has shifted with Governor Newsom with this second go around with this administration.
Yeah, finally. And I think that's a good thing. But he started off with Trump-proofing California. Right?
That was just ridiculous.
Pushing through, you know, more money to spend on government lawyers to sue the Trump administration instead putting out an open hand to say, hey, let's work on wildfire policy because a lot of this land is federal land. Mm-hmm. You know, let's reform NEPA as well, National Environmental Protection Act, to ensure that we can do these projects, you know, on federal land where there is dangerous fuel accumulation, right, to better protect our communities, and also on water. And like you said, we've seen this infusion of federal dollars coming in to help with water. There's great opportunities to improve our infrastructure to make sure that we're more resilient to drought. And so the focus really does need to be, hey, let's work on what we on cooperating and working with the Trump administration, you know, on these infrastructure issues to make our state, more stronger in the long run.
I want to focus on a statewide survey that the Public Policy Institute of California released today. They do this from time to time throughout the year. And it said that political extremism or threats to democracy have surpassed economic issues as Californians' top concern in the United States. What is the message that you take away from that? What kind of stock do you put into that?
I would say, like, first, you know, the threats to democracy, I think, largely have been, you know, quite actually under the Biden administration. When we had, you know, efforts to, like, suppress people's speech, you know, where the FBI was actually looking into parent groups that were showing up at schools and literally labeling them domestic terrorist groups, right? Like, I share that concern, you know, like, labeling people and preventing them from actually coming and giving their input in public, intimidating them is not the way to go. We should have free expression, right? And we should all be working together to try and find the right solutions for our constituents. You know, and again, cost of living is still, you know, the number one issue that people talk about in poll after poll. And that's something we could really do something about, right? If we come together, if we start working together, if we allow people to give public input into these processes. In the state capitol, we've cut off debate. You know, there's times when we have not even allowed bills to have a hearing in the committee. You know, that's anti-democratic. That's not allowing a full viewing of all the issues and all the input that we need to make good decisions. So I share that concern. But I think a lot of times it's the narrative is that somehow this is coming out of, you know, Donald Trump or Republicans. And I just don't think it's true. A lot of those, barriers to free expression and to input have largely been carried out by Democratic governors or Democratic presidents.
Hmm. Finally, both of you have been at the state capitol for quite some time now, and this spans two governors, both Governor Brown and Governor Newsom. How has the job changed for the both of you in the past decade or 15 years in getting bills across the finish line and having them become state laws as a minority at the state capitol? Has that job changed or evolved?
Well, for me, it's changed a little bit. When I got elected in 2010, the Republicans in the Assembly had 28 members. So, we're now rebuilding back to that point. I think the low point for me in my career in the legislature was when the legislature moved out of our traditional office building and into the swing space. And then at the same time, COVID happened. And so when we shut down for that period of time, you know, the robust conversations and the, building relationships even across the aisle was really hampered. And I think I can say we're kind of back to normal. It's taken us this long to get back to normal. It'll be better once the new office building is built and we move back over, to where the Capitol is. And as we're rebuilding and building our numbers back, and now that we have a Republican in the White House and Republican leadership in Congress, that helps a little bit. I think our Democrat colleagues kind of have to realize that we've got a little bit more to offer. And so this year, I think I'm seeing some hope and really the ability to build those relationships again across the aisle and get some good things done.
How about you, Assemblymember Gallagher? I'll leave the last word to you. We only got about a minute left.
I think it's changed in, I think the minority voice is important in any democracy. It's important to have a minority voice that gets that message across that may not really being, maybe isn't being heard in the echo chamber of a supermajority.
Right.
And by the way, I think supermajorities are not good, whether they're in California or they're in Tennessee, right? You need to have more balanced input and views. That's really important. So I've always taken that job really seriously. I would say for us as Republicans in California, I think we've put much more of an emphasis of getting out and talking to people throughout the state, getting out into constituencies that maybe just haven't really heard from us in a long time. And one of those is Latinos. You know, Latino voters voted in higher numbers for Republicans. They voted for Donald Trump. Imperial County, a very high Latino county voted for Donald Trump in this last election, and it helped us flip a seat. You know, Jeff Gonzalez is a new assembly member because many Latino voters said, that maybe had traditionally been voting with Democrats decided to say, you know what, I like what Republicans are saying. They're fighting to lower our cost of living. They're fighting for public safety, for better opportunities for our kids and education. And I think that message is really resonating. And certainly we've tried to bring that across in our debates in the legislature as well.
Senator,
the needle has changed, and I just want to let your listeners know it's okay to vote Republican.
Of course you think it's okay. I would be surprised if you would disagree with that. Well, Senator Jones and Assemblymember Gallagher, thank you both so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
That is State Senator Brian Jones and Assemblymember James Gallagher, and they're the Republican leaders at the state capitol. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.